you support the Republican effort that's going on right now to try to defund Obamacare, even if it means a partial shutdown of the federal government? We're going to talk with a guest who does, and who says a government shutdown really wouldn't be the end of the world. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, September 26th. Our guest says we have been down this road before, and it is not as bumpy a ride as people think. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Merrill Matthews, resident scholar with the Institute for Policy Innovation, a conservative think tank based in Dallas. He's also a health policy and budget taxation expert and a contributor to Forbes.com. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we saw a piece that you wrote called Fun Facts About Government Shutdowns, and it pretty much said that this has been it used to be a pretty regular thing, that this has happened several times in the past, and the world still turns. Tell us when this happened and what happened.
Well, yes, Joy. The Congressional Research Service, which is a nonpartisan branch of Congress, published a study a couple of years ago that tracked the number of government shutdowns that we had, and it found that there's been 17 of them. Many of them happening during the Carter and Reagan years. There were 6 during Jimmy Carter's 4 years, 8 during Ronald Reagan's years. During the Carter years, they tended to be fairly long, between 8 and 17 days. During the Reagan years, they tended to be 1 to 3 days. And then, of course, we had one during George Herbert Walker Bush's time, and we had the one that most people remember, if they remember at all, is the long one that we had from 1995, end of 1995 to early 1996, during Bill Clinton's presidency. There was actually 5 days the month before in November, but that's the one where there was a big fight between the Republicans and President Clinton, and it shut down during the Christmas holidays there. And to be fair, that's a long time. It's 21 days. To be fair, most of Congress goes, Congress and Washington sort of go out that last week and a half of December. But it was a longer time, and that created a real public relations issue for Republicans. They felt like they were getting pummeled, and decided to come to an agreement on January 6th.
Well, yeah, I thought that pretty much was considered at least a PR disaster for the Republicans, but you don't think it was necessarily?
No, I think it absolutely was. In fact, there's a trend right now to try to say it was not too bad for Republicans. They actually gained a couple of seats in the Senate, even if they lost a few in the House that year later on in 96 during the election. But I think it was everyone who was around at that time, and I was, perceived that as a PR disaster for Republicans, and that's one of the reasons why they always start out by saying, we don't want to shut down the government, this is not something we want to do, and a lot of them, especially ones who've been around for a long time, don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say, though, that they shouldn't be afraid to go there now?
Well, no, I don't think it is. I don't think it's wise for them to do this. There are a couple of questions here. Does it end up really stagnating the country or something like that? Probably not, because these tend to last 1 or 2 days. The more experience is, they tend to be very short. There was a long one in 95 and 96, and that's the last one we had. That was 18 years ago. The country doesn't collapse, and especially if there's a short one. But I think it would probably be a PR nightmare for Republicans again, because they have not done a good job of trying to explain their case, and I think the media would blame them for it. The Democrats certainly will blame them for it. So I think they should do everything they can to avoid it if possible.
So what do you think of what Senator Ted Cruz did this week?
Well, you know, I have mixed emotions about Senator Cruz. I'm from Texas, so he's actually my senator. he wanted to try to take a principled stand to stand against this. He certainly got his message out, I think, but I don't know that it ultimately does any good. So has he accomplished anything by doing it? Well, he might have brought some more attention to it, certainly brought some more attention to himself, but I don't know that he's going to resolve the problem with doing that. So, I always appreciate seeing a politician take a principled stand for something he or she believes in. But I'm not sure it actually accomplishes anything.
Yeah, so do you think that we are going to have a government shutdown specifically over the defunding of Obamacare first?
Well, you know, we've got two options there. One is you've got the budget negotiations going on. Congress's fiscal year begins October 1st. The current funding for the government runs out October 1st. So that's one negotiation that's going on. The other is the federal debt ceiling, which comes up around October 16 or 17. We got the message from the budget office, I think, yesterday that they think about October 16 or 17, they hit the debt limit. And so there's two places where Republicans are looking to have a negotiation over government spending and being able to try to control that government spending and cut that some. I don't know. It's not clear yet which one is going to be the one they'll try to wrap their arms around. If Senator Cruz loses what he wanted to try to do, which it almost certainly looks like he will, they'll send that budget back to the House with the funding for the president's health care legislation in there. And I don't know that anybody knows exactly what the House is going to do. Even if John Boehner wanted to get it passed, I'm not sure if he has the votes to do it. With the Democrats in there and some Republicans, he might have the votes to pass it. It's just not clear to anybody right now exactly what happens.
Well, I'm looking at an article that says that Republicans are exploring a detour on the path to a possible government shutdown, shifting the fight over President Obama's health care law to a separate bill that would raise the nation's debt limit. So that's at least what this article in that I'm looking at says, that they're going to give up on defunding Obamacare and shift the debate to the debt ceiling. What do you think of that?
I think the Republicans did a very, if they want to defund Obamacare, I think they did a very poor job in doing it. The reason is that under the budget process, the normal budget process, there's 13 appropriations bills that Congress has to pass to fund the budget. In years past, what they would do is they would work through the summer to pass those various bills. They would have most of them, in a few years, all of them done by October 1st. But then they would, sometimes they would have two or three of them that were left over, and those were ones where there's sticky issues, and they would work to continue working, getting that done. Sometimes they'd pass a continuing resolution to continue funding that part of the government, but it wasn't the whole government. Here in the last few years, we've gone to, actually since President Obama, we've gone to comprehensive, funding bills that continuing resolutions that fund the whole government in one bill. Had John Boehner been a little more astute, I think he would have started the normal process back in the summer, got some of these major things that needed to be funded done and out of the way, so that you'd be focusing on maybe a few appropriations bills, but not the whole 13, which covers the whole government. So now they've got themselves in a place where they're not entirely sure where to go, and if they may go ahead and drop this because I'm not sure. I don't know that they feel like they can win on the budget process and move to the debt limit. They feel like they have a little more leverage with the debt limit, and then that's what they used back at the beginning of the year when the sequester came in. They felt like that was a good a victory for them with the president, and so it may be they feel like they have more leverage with that debt limit.
Yeah. And while your piece was saying that a government shutdown was really not that big of a deal, that it's happened many times, it would be a big deal if we didn't raise the debt limit, wouldn't it?
It probably would be a big deal, but the federal government takes in money all the time, takes in tax money. And so it takes in about enough to cover, I think, about 60-70% of its expenditures right now. So if they did not raise the debt limit, there would be some things they couldn't pay immediately, but they could certainly continue paying most standard obligations that they have. It's sort of like a husband and wife are working, and they both have checks coming in, and one of them, for some reason, a check is delayed. They may be able to continue paying several of their bills and put a few of them on hold. They could continue a little while if the debt limit were not raised. That's not the best way to go, but they could continue.
We are talking with Merrill Matthews. He is with the Institute for Policy Innovation, talking about the potential of a partial government shutdown and the debate going on regarding the defunding of the Affordable Care Act, and now the attention shifting to raising the debt limit. And we're welcoming your thoughts, your questions. Are you worried about a government shutdown, or do you think it's not a big deal? Do you think there will be a shutdown? Would you blame Republicans or Democrats or President Obama if there was a shutdown? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with a guest about a possible government shutdown over efforts to try to defund Obamacare. And we welcome your thoughts and questions. Do you think this is a big deal or not? Our guest says we have been down this road many times before and says it's really not as bumpy a ride as people think. And we are welcoming your input and your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Merrill Matthews, what's going to happen next week if there is a partial government shutdown?
Well, the government will start the non-essential agencies will begin to ratchet down their various projects and things like that so that they can step out and go on a furlough. I'll mention a couple of things. I think in virtually every case, once the funding came through on the past shutdowns, and they don't call them shutdowns in the government, they call them spending gaps because they always come to a solution and then the money starts flowing again. And those people who missed some days, they get their money. It's like a furlough. They get the money that they had that they were owed that gets paid back to them even if they were off. And one other thing I should mention, Joy, is that this is, even though this is clearly a partisan issue now, hasn't always been. In Jimmy Carter, when he was there with six shutdowns, he had a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate, and of course he was a Democrat. But you had disagreements over various budget issues and other things, so it hasn't always been a partisan issue like it is right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do hear Democrats and others who say that this is just really risky, not just for a reputation by the Republicans, but really risky for the country to put us on the brink of a government shutdown, not only over the funding of the Affordable Care Act, but especially when it comes to the debt ceiling, that this could result in economic disaster for the United States.
Economic disaster is probably strong, but clearly this is no way to run a government. You don't want these sort of brinksmanships coming up time and again. It's not a great thing to do. But both sides have sat down to try to come to an agreement on things, and they have not been able to do it. The Republicans were willing to raise taxes last time. The president got his tax increase. They were able to get spending cuts in the sequester. We heard that was going to be a disaster. Hasn't been. There have been some people who are being cut back because of that. But you have a fundamental ideological difference going on right now about how much the federal government should be spending, what's the appropriate amount of debt, and the level of tax revenue. There's a strong disagreement. In years past, you had both liberals and conservatives in both the Republican and Democratic Party. So you had some bipartisan disagreement over these things. Over the past 10 to 15 years, that's changed now, and all the conservatives are in the Republican Party and all the liberals are in the Democratic Party. And so what used to be an ideological shift but bipartisan now has now become both an ideological and partisan change.
Well, Andy on Facebook says, we have a system of laws, and the health care law was duly debated and passed by Congress, signed into law by the president, and upheld by the Supreme Court. Then we had an election, and the president was reelected. They lost, and they need to stop being sore losers. He is advocating extortion. If they shut the government down, it will be disruptive to our economy and harm a lot of people and disrupt a lot of services. What's your response to that?
Well, as I pointed out, in the past years, nobody considered it extortion. They didn't do that in the 80s and 70s when they had the debates then. They felt like it was a real issues over debate. But the guest is right. The legislation was passed without any Republican votes, and that's really where the president made his first mistake. There was a lot. When he came in, there was a lot of bipartisan will to pass health care reform. But the president did not listen or engage the Republicans on that, and eventually they all took off and decided not to support what he was doing. So you've got a law that an awful lot of people don't like and is very costly and is going to be a real challenge for us from implementing the thing, as we're beginning to see. So I support the effort to get to defund the thing and get back to a real health care reform. But whether or not the Republicans have got the right strategy in shutting down the government, if they end up doing that, that's a bigger question.
Mark in Ettrick is with us. Hello, Mark.
Yes, good morning. My thought is, if the federal government never has an operating budget that it lives within, how is this cycle ever going to be broken? They're always going to have to go back to the table and raise the budget limit because they're spending above their means.
And Mark, I think you're absolutely right. In fact, the government hasn't had a budget in, 4 to 5 years. The Senate hasn't even come up with a budget proposal from the Senate side. So it is not a panacea. When they pass a budget, they oftentimes break the budget and go and spend additional money, but at least it gives everybody something to work with, and they've not been able to agree on a framework for a budget now since President Obama came in office. But I agree that at least having that budget allows them to have something to talk about and try some goal to shoot at, and they can't seem to get that done.
Jeanette in Warren, Illinois is with us. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, good morning. I have been a Park Service employee since 1989. I did go through those two government shutdowns. And as a seasonal employee who arrived at Grand Tetons to work for the winter, the day the government shut down, I was on hold 3 weeks, no money. And eventually, yes, I did get my money back. As a person who lives as a seasonal employee, who earns even now less than $20,000 a year, I do welcome the Affordable Care Act. And I saw the huge local and state economic impact of having our national parks shut down for weeks at a time. In Arizona, the state officials were begging to have Grand Canyon and other parks reopen because they lost millions of dollars.
Yeah, so there are some local dollars, state dollars, that are their economies are affected if the government shuts down.
And Jeanette's absolutely right. during that 1995-96 shutdown, because various parks and so forth were shutting down, people were complaining about it, and that's part of the pressure that went on Republicans to come to a compromise. Interestingly, in March, when the president decided to cancel the White House tours, remembering back to what Jeanette was referring to, I thought, we'll probably see a lot of media complaints about this, people standing outside the White House. Maybe that will put pressure on the president to find some additional funds within the budgets that he controls to start the White House tours again. Didn't happen. And so it's at least a question from Jeanette's standpoint as to whether or not, if we get a shutdown and the park services are not able to open and so forth, does that put pressure on Republicans, or are we at a different time than we were 18 years ago, since it didn't seem to change the White House?
We have just a minute to go, Merrill Matthews. What's your prediction? What's going to happen?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if we don't get a shutdown for a few days. I'm not sure it will last very long, because the pressure comes from the media. I think will be very strong and put a lot of pressure on Republicans, force both the Republicans and the White House to focus and perhaps come up with some kind of solution. But it may be a temporary solution. It wouldn't surprise me at all if we don't get something that continues with the funding for, say, 6 weeks or to the end of the year.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Merrill Matthews is the resident scholar with the Institute for Policy Innovation, a conservative think tank based in Dallas. He is also a health policy and budget taxation expert and a contributor to Forbes.com. We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will welcome in State Representative Peter Barca, the Assembly Minority Leader, who has some thoughts on jobs in Wisconsin. And we'll welcome your input on that discussion, too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.